KBOO, Portland, Oregon, bridging the gap between prisons, prisoners, and the community. This is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
The Negro, he has to subscribe to whatever language the people use that he's trying to communicate with. And when you're dealing with racists, they only know one language, and if you're not capable of adopting that language or speaking that language, you don't need to try and communicate with those races.
Welcome back. This is Voices of the Iron Front. I'm DJ Red Echo, your signal from the front line between community and state. Tonight, we go hard on what it means to defend each other, the practices, the history, the immediate work when agents show up at your door, and the long arc of solidarity that ties local defense to global liberators. I want to open with the fact you don't want to normalize, which is what happened in Chicago on the morning of October 25th. Now, when we talk about community defense, this is what I mean. This wasn't a rumor. This wasn't a late night tweet. Multiple neighborhood eyewitnesses, community groups, local news reporting, and court filings described federal agents deploying crowd control measures, tear gas, in Old Irving Park neighborhood minutes before a family Halloween parade. Now, the Old Irving Park Association had posted a family-friendly event that morning. This is in Chicago, and children were expected. Families were preparing. They were gathering court testimony and video packaged in filings and reported by local outlets show agents left a vehicle and then gas spread across the block where parents and kids were walking toward a parade, a Halloween parade. A federal judge later admonished a Border Patrol commander about the agency's use of crowd control measures in neighborhoods such as that. Testimony described people coughing, disoriented, neighbors terrified, parents pulling kids away, organizers pivoting their plans. That's not abstract. That is an assault on community life. Now, people use the shorthand ICE online, but the footage and filings show Border Patrol uniforms, which is a different agency, same Department of Homeland Security umbrella, same policy posture being pushed by federal enforcement. DHS spokespeople later framed the deployment posture as part of an arrest operation and claimed officers were boxed in. Now, local leaders and parents said the parade was disrupted. The point is this, and I'm bringing it back to this. Federal immigration enforcement deployed gas near children headed to a school parade. A judge had publicly questioned that decision already. Civic leaders asked for a pause on raids during Halloween. The Secretary of Homeland Security refused. So let's not pretend that this is isolated. This is a pattern of criminalizing communities and normalizing violence in public life. And we counter that with community defense. And we have to remember that community defense is not a slogan. It's an infrastructure. It is a strategy in loving form. It's the systems you can plug in when a neighbor's rights are threatened, when agents arrive to detain, to intimidate, or to tear the fabric of 100 small precious things: mutual aid, legal observers, medic teams, bail funds, rapid response phone trees. These are our front lines. They look ordinary on paper, but they are extraordinary in practice. Now, if you want to do anti-fascism that actually protects people, you build up the everyday. That means training, practice, and record keeping. It means neighborhood. It means a neighborhood that knows who's a medic, who's a legal contact, and which lawyer to call. It means a block that can be seen on camera, not to confront, but to document. Documentation saves people. Filing complaints, publishing video, connecting families to counsel. That's the pressure that prevents repeat offenses. And let me be crystal. Documenting must be responsible. Record them at a safe distance. Note badge numbers, vehicle plates, times, get witness names. Upload footage to secure accounts, copy it to trusted legal teams, and stash backups. If you have to hand footage to a lawyer, let the lawyer handle the official process. Do not post personally identifying details of vulnerable neighbors, their addresses, medical info, or unredacted footage without consent. That's how doxing spreads harm. Protect people you're trying to help. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Voices of the Iron Front right here on KBOO 90.7 FM.
Starting a war, screaming peace at the same time. All the corruption and justice, the same crimes. Always a problem. What's it gonna take for someone to defend her? If we all agree that we're equal as people, then why can't we see what is evil? I can't breathe. You're taking my life from me. I can't breathe. Will anyone fight for me?
The time. Destruction of minds, bodies, and human rights. Stripped of bloodlines, whipped and confined. This is the American pride. It's justifying a genocide, romanticizing the theft and bloodshed that made America the land of the free. To take a black life, land of the free, to bring a gun to a peaceful fight for civil rights. You are desensitized to pulling triggers on innocent lives because that's how we got here in the first place. These wounds sink deeper than the bullet your entitled hands could ever reach. Generations and generations of pain, fear, and anxiety. Equality is walking without intuition, saying the protector and the killer is wearing the same uniform. The revolution is not televised. Media perception is forced down the throats of closed minds, so it's lies in the headlines and generations of supremacy resulting in your ignorant, privileged eyes. We breathe the same and we bleed the same, but still we don't see the same. Be thankful we are God-fearing because we do not seek revenge. We seek justice. We are past fear. We are fed up eating your shit because you think your so-called black friend validates your wokeness and erases your racism. That kind of uncomfortable conversation is too hard for your trust fund pockets to swallow. To swallow the strange fruit hanging from my family tree because because of your audacity to say all men are created equal in the eyes of God, but disparage a man based on the color of his skin. Do not say you do not see color. When you see us, see us. We can't breathe.
Welcome back to Voices of the Iron Front, right here on KBOO 90.7 FM. Now, we were, of course, talking about community defense and what you can do when you're faced with forces in your community that need to be held accountable, especially in this day and age and this time that we're in. So, as we were previously discussing, protecting the people that you're trying to help. Now, when you're also doing that, you also need things like legal observers. Do not underestimate that while white coat or marked helmet with legal observer stenciled on it. Don't underestimate that. Neutral observers document interactions, and they also relay info to legal teams and can make the difference between a dragged out legal nightmare and a case that gets public scrutiny. The National Lawyers Guild and many local legal groups provide legal observer training. So learn it, join it, run it in your city or block, and yes, also bail funds. When people are detained, bail funds pull them out fast. That prevents the worst outcomes. Families separated for weeks, the erosion of defense capabilities in a community while people sit in a cage. Keep bail fund numbers on hand. Keep the cash accessible. Refill it right away when you use it. Now, Massachusetts organizers say the best value a community has is a replenished bail fund because it buys time for legal defense and keeps organizers in streets, not inside cells. All of these deny the state its favorite tactic, isolation. Fascism and authoritarian systems thrive when individuals are isolated, when a neighbor is made to feel like the only one threatened. When we build networks of family supports, mutual aid, legal clinics, and public documentation, we make it impossible to erase people quietly. We turn isolated trauma into collective action. Let's walk through the lineage of this work, because names matter. History teaches discipline, right? After World War I, when black-shirted squads attacked workers in union meetings in Italy, brave folks formed the Arditi del Popolo. I'm trying to say that as correct as possible. Working-class anti-fascist groups who physically protected meetings in neighborhoods. That was their purpose. Their work wasn't glamorous, but it saved lives, and it kept organizing spaces open. Now, when fascism threatened Spain, volunteers from around the world joined the international brigades. They fought not just for borders, but for the principle that people must be free to decide their fate. That's international solidarity, the frame we invoke when we tie local defense to global resistance. Now, here at home in the United States, our line of defense has been black and brown communities organizing practical resistance. The Black Panthers put armed patrols beside free breakfast programs. They combined deterrence with care. The Young Lords in Puerto Rico and Chicago took over churches and community centers to turn them into clinics and food distribution hubs. These groups backed a truth many of us forget: defense breeds dignity when it's coupled with building. So Antifa, anti-fascism, community defense, it's not a single tactic. It's a family of practices that protect and create. You're listening right here on KBOO 90.7 FM 2, Voices of the Iron Front. Keep it locked. We'll be right back.
Which old one race superior and another inferior is finally and permanently discredited and abandoned. Everywhere is war. It's a war that until there are no longer first class and second class citizens of any nation, until the color of a man's skin is of no more significance than the color of his eyes. Miss a war that until the basic human rights are equally guaranteed to all without regard to race. It is a war that until that day the dream of lasting peace, world citizenship, rule of international morality will remain but a fleeting illusion to be pursued but never attained. Now everywhere is war. War. And until the ignoble and unhappy regime that hold our brothers in Angola, in Mozambique, South Africa, subhuman bondage, have been toppled, totally destroyed. Well, everywhere is war. Is a war. War in the east. War in the west. War up north. War down south. War, war. Rumors of a war. And until that day, the African continent will not know peace. We Africans will fight. We find it necessary, and we know we shall win, as we are confident in the victory of good over evil.
Come on. What? What is there still someone up there?
Nuk umi yu ku neb he Peru,
I don't have to tell you things aren't good. Everybody knows things aren't good. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. Young punks are running the street, no one knows just what to do, and there's no end to it. The dollar buys a penny's worth, banks are going under, cobblers keeping a gun under the counter. We sit watching our idiot boxes while some local anchorman tells us that today we've had 18 murders and 80 violent crimes, as if that were the way things were supposed to be. We know times are bad, worse than bad. People are crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going utterly mad, so we never leave our homes. We sit in our comfy abodes while the world is getting smaller, and we say, come on, at least leave us alone in our family rooms. Let me have my microwave and flat screen and my 20-inch wheels, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not gonna leave you alone. I want you to get angry. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to write your senator, because I won't know what to tell you to tell him. I don't know what to do about the recession and the inflation and the crime in the street. All I know is that you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being, damn it. My life has value.
Welcome back. You're listening to Voices of the Iron Front right here on KBOO KBOO 90.7 FM. Thank you for joining us for this chapter. And of course, we are talking about community defense and what it looks like in this age. Now, at this point, you need specifics, right? If you're on a block that sees enforcement activity, this is what you should do. Make a neighborhood plan now, right now. Not when the van arrives. Not when people are already hysterical. Get a phone tree, a list of people who can pick up kids, a list of medics, the local legal hotline, and a route plan for safe movement. Practice it. Run drills. If it sounds militant, good, because preparedness is what wins. Document safely and legally, like we said before. Use your phone, but think ahead. Mark timestamps and context. Who was there? When? Where? And what happened? And backup footage. Share it with trusted legal teams. Consider uploading it to a cloud folder that an attorney can access. And again, never put a vulnerable person's identity online without consent. Now, for field medics and decontamination kits, tear gas is a reality we have to prepare for, especially with the recent actions that's been going on. Training for saltwater rinses, eye irrigation, and safe transport for distressed people is essential. That doesn't mean you play surgeon. It just means you know who to call and what basic supportive measures help. And of course, legal observers and hotlines. Train at least 2 people on your block to be legal observers. Have hotline numbers visible and memorized. Identify the lawyers and human rights organizations that will take calls and bring pressure. And of course, like we said, bail funds and rapid relief. Keep a rotating fund. Partner with local unions, mutual aid networks, and faith groups to refill it. Keep receipts and accountability to maintain trust. And public accountability plans. When footage exists, plan how you will make it public. Which outlets, which local reporters, which community leaders. Framing matters. A coordinated release with legal support prevents careless release that can jeopardize privacy or investigations. We'll be right back. You're listening to Voices of the Iron Front right here on KBOO 90.7 FM.
Second chance, got no love. Rub up when she's burning down the ass. That's what's up. Take your shit and walk up in the bed. Where's the law? Yeah.
Welcome back to Voices of the Iron Front right here on KBOO 90.7. Thank you so much again, KBOO family, for listening in this chapter. We so appreciate all the support KBOO has given this show so far. We hope you like what you listen to. And I just want to remind you guys, this is just the beginning. We have so much to talk about and share with you all, and I want you guys to share too as well. I will be bringing on guests eventually, once we get this show a proper footing, to also share their stories, their struggles, and also their words of encouragement, of inspiration and hope and solidarity too as well. So just stay tuned. But for now, we're happy that you're here and we're happy that you're tuned in. Now, let me bring it back to Chicago's Halloween, because that's where I currently am right now. And that story really just hit me in a really profound way, because that incident is a live example of why everything we've talked about above matters. When agents launched crowd control measures near a children's parade, neighbors did the immediate work. They picked up the kids, they moved the elders, they contacted organizers, they recorded footage. They pivoted the event so it could continue in a safer space. Then they took the footage to local press and to court filings. A judge had to admonish a federal commander at a public hearing, and that didn't happen by accident. It happened because people documented, organized, and insisted on transparency. Transparency. When a governor asked that raids be paused on Halloween so families could celebrate safely, Homeland Security, of course, they refused. Of course they did. That political refusal is a signal. The fight doesn't stop at one incident. We must institutionalize the defense. Now, if you're new to this, don't panic. Start with one thing. A phone tree. It's that simple. Get 3 trusted neighbors' numbers, however many you want. But 3. Let's just start out with 3. Get 3 trusted neighbors' numbers and 1 lawyer contact. Then add a medic. Then a camera chain. Build outward. That's how movements scale. And now let's pivot the conversation into another domain of vulnerability, the digital realm. If we document, we must also defend that documentation. Digital safety is a part of community defense. If you're organizing, assume everything can be scraped. Clean up your social profiles, use encrypted comms, signal for operational planning, not public post. Enable 2-factor authentication. Use pseudonymous accounts for organizing if it keeps people safer. But remember, technology is a tool, not a shield. The real defense is people. Tech multiplies people's power when deployed with collective discipline. Now, when doxing happens, don't let the target handle it alone. Move collectively. Flood the space with official statements, engage trusted legal counsel, coordinate with platform safety teams, and use rapid response communicators to control the narrative. The goal is to limit harm to the person targeted while exposing the harassment ecosystem. Okay, now let's once again weave this all together. Physical defense, legal leverage, mutual aid, and digital protection. That's a durable community defense system. It protects people from immediate harm and builds durable resistance. Now, let's take a breath. We're going to move into a minute of quiet and ancestral meditation. Right now, we're going to breathe into the lineage, hear the ancestors, and prepare your voice. This is the 60-second ancestral guided meditation. Close your eyes if it's safe to do so. Feel your feet on the ground. You are standing on a chain of people who refuse to bow. From the Arditi who guarded Union Halls, to the Panthers who fed children, to the neighbors who filmed raids, they are here. Breathe in their courage. Breathe out doubt. Whisper to yourself, we hold each other. We hold our block. We hold the world. Open your eyes. Carry that breath into action. And that is your 60-second ancestral guided meditation. Voices of the Iron Front, right here on KBOO 90.7 FM. Now, we turn our attention outward to how these local fights also connect to global fights. This is your Gaza Report. There is breaking heavy news on the global front. As of today, it's been 27 days since a U.S. brokered ceasefire in Gaza took effect on October the 10th. That ceasefire included terms for hostage releases and a framework for stabilization. Now, since the ceasefire, Hamas has recently released 20 Israeli captives alive and handed over remains of 22 of the 28 killed in Gaza during the October 7th attacks. Those are factual hard numbers that matter to how reconciliation and accountability move forward. On November 5th, reports said that the United States circulated a draft to the UN Security Council for a resolution on Gaza, sharing it with most of the members of the council. Media outlets, including international correspondents, reported details about provisions for a Board of Peace force for Gaza as discussed in the draft. Al Jazeera and other outlets have recently reviewed copies and summarized elements that include both humanitarian provisions for monitoring an eventual stabilization force. The draft is a potential step forward toward the international accountability. But remember, draft texts are only paper until acted upon. The work of enforcing humanitarian law and securing meaningful protections remains in the hands of the states, international agencies, and the pressure of people that have power. Now, let's just let the gravity sink in about the situation in Gaza. The human toll is massive and unforgiving. Since October 2023, humanitarian monitors report that more than 68,875 Palestinian lives have been lost in Gaza and 170,679 have been wounded. These numbers are not just statistics. They are mothers and fathers and kids and teachers and friends. We must hold those human lives in our political imagination as we organize here at home. Solidarity does not mean submitting or substituting one suffering for another. It means connecting our tactics and our ethics and defend vulnerable everywhere. You're listening to KBOO 90.7 FM. This is Voices of the Iron Front. We will be right back.
So what's it really like being the only white member of Soul Glow?
Girl,
Welcome back to Voices of the Iron Front, right here on KBOO 90.7. We defend our neighbors by building systems that outlast the next raid. We hold each other by creating institutions of care, which mean bail funds that don't run dry, libraries of legal resources, medics who know decontamination, schools that teach you your rights. We hold our ground by showing up, not to escalate violence, but to deny the state the cover of isolation. To everyone listening in Chicago and in Portland, in other cities, and around the world, the techniques I spoke about tonight are not theory. They're tested. Do the drills, host the trainings, build bail funds, train legal observers, put elders and children first. Put elders and children first. Put elders and children first. Also, document carefully and share responsibility. If one thing sticks from tonight, let it be this. Anti-fascism is a community act. It is not a personality trait. It is a discipline. It's the morning that neighbors trade numbers. The afternoon, they teach each other decontamination. And the evening, they send funds to keep a person out of the cell. We will not let our children's parades be the place where fear becomes normal. We will not let borders and badges be the end of human dignity. We will tend our wounds and shapen our practices. We will remember Gaza in our prayers and in our policy fights as well. And we will keep living the work of mutual aid until the day force has no purchase over our lives. Thank you once again, KBOO Portland, for allowing me to share this episode of Voices of the Iron Front right here on KBOO 90.7. I love you guys so much.
Hi, this is Ray Lynn, and you're listening to KBOO Portland.
Ear to the streets, ear to the streets, ear to the streets.